Well, 4:30, let's call this meeting to order. For Campo, June 14th, can I have roll call? Kathy, please, thank you.
Chairperson Kimbrough?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bonkowski?
Here.
Member Bagwell?
Here.
Member Erb?
Here.
Member Hastings?
Here.
Member Smolenski?
Here.
Member Zentino?
Here.
Ex officio Member Rosenberg?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Next on agenda is any management notice of change. The chair is not taking anything out of order. Is there any other requests? Nope. Thank you. Next is there any disclosures for any items on the agenda tonight? Anybody? Seeing none, we're all safe. We move forward. Next, there's a chance for a public comment. This is for members of the public who wish to address the board. You may approach the podium and speak on any matter relevant or to within the authority of CAMPO. But we do like to ask if it's on the agenda to come at that time instead of earlier. But if you'd like to come forward, you certainly may. Does anybody like to make public comment? Seeing none, move it back. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes for the May 10th meeting.
I move to approve the minutes of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization for May 10th, 2017 as presented.
I have a motion.
Second.
Second with Jim.
I have one comment.
Comments.
Mark Costa, who filled in for me last month, his name is spelled incorrectly on the minutes. Yeah.
So, will you change your motion in the second?
I would change my motion to note that they are being accepted with the aforementioned correction.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, it's C-O-S-T-A, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Jim, in your second. So, any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimous. Public meeting item 6A, information only, non-action item. The Nevada Department of Transportation will provide a brief presentation regarding the One Nevada Transportation Plan and provide an update on NDOT-sponsored transportation projects within the CAMPO boundary.
Thank you, Chair. First, I want to introduce Kevin Vera. Kevin Vera is Assistant Chief for Multimodal and Program Development at NDOT. He's also our MPO liaison. And we've been working with him for 5 years?
That's a good
round number. So, longer than me. So, but with that, I want to turn it over to Kevin.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Vera. I'm with the Nevada Department of Transportation. The presentation's purpose is to provide an overview of the activities within the CAMPO boundary. NDOT provides yearly work plan updates to all counties statewide, formerly known as the county tours. And in previous years, we provided this same sort of update to CAMPO. During this last year's debrief of the tour process, we decided that we needed a different approach for outreach towards MPOs. We're continuing our meetings with the rural counties in the same fashion, but this year for MPO coordination, what we're trying to do is formalize a process. That process hasn't been formalized yet, but we felt that it was important to still give a status update, especially after speaking with CAMPO staff. So, as you can see, the topics of the presentation will include an NDOT project overview, TAP project overview, STBG status update. I will also briefly go over One Nevada plan. That's our new long-range plan that's in process, and then I'll also give you a future project update. So, current projects. Currently, projects will be just addressing anything that NDOT's undertaken or will be undertaking. So, currently, the 580 is expected to complete in early August. USA Parkway, while not inside the CAMPO boundary, should be completed in September of 17. NDOT also has a ITS project. It's a signal battery backup project throughout the CAMPO area. I'm not exactly sure which signals we're backing up with batteries, but the purpose is to provide during power outages some flashings so that there's a safety at those intersections. Also, we have three pedestrian projects: the Stewart Street Pedestrian Improvement Project, Pike Street Pedestrian Improvement Project, and Silver State Pedestrian Improvement Project. I believe the Pike and Silver State have both been obligated for PE, and we're currently working to move Stewart Street along. Next. Okay, so now's the good stuff. So Campo was very successful in this last round for TAP. NDOT did a call in 2000 for a call for projects for 2016 through 18. The list of projects that were awarded to Campo include the Western Nevada Safe Routes to School program, federal award of $617,500, Carson Street Complete Streets with a federal award of $750,000, and then the freeway multi-use path, a federal award of $712,000, as well as Dayton Valley Historical District depot remodel of $403,682. As you can see by that bottom line, Campo staff was able to secure around $2.5 million. NDOT and Campo staff are currently working on getting all of these projects under agreement so that funds can be obligated and those projects can be awarded. The one that is awarded currently is the Western Nevada Safe Routes to School program. As you can see, a number of very important projects were awarded to Campo. One note on that, we will be doing another call in federal fiscal year 18 for TAP funds for the 19-20 years, just so you know. Okay, so next topic, the Surface Transportation Block Grant. You guys approved an agreement maybe 3 months ago, non-monetary. What this did was allow Campo to get some sub-allocated funds that basically, lack of a better term, belong to NDOT. What we did is Campo staff, along with NDOT staff, were able to come to an agreement in which 33% of that fund source was allocated towards Campo and projects within Campo. It was agreed upon that 33% of that fund source would be allocated to Campo projects. Currently, as you can see on the list, Campo has designated the Silver Sage Reconstruction and Airport Road Mill Overlay for the 2017 funds. Lyon County and Douglas County will need to start working with our LPA group to ensure agreements are in place in order to confirm project selection and that funds will be obligated in a timely fashion. The length of this, of the non-monetary agreement, which sets this in place, is through the FAST Act. So 2020 will be the end of that current agreement, in which we'll have to probably revisit that situation. So on to the long-range plan. So the One Nevada plan is our long-range plan. The vision of the One Nevada transportation plan is a safe and connected multimodal transportation system that links Nevadans and supports the state's economic vitality. The plan balances the need to preserve existing investments with strategic increases in mobility while embracing Nevada's natural resources, attractions, and emerging technologies. The ongoing plan process will be collaborative, unified, adaptive, and transparent. That's our mission for this One Nevada plan. The plan aims to do a number of things: identify, track, report transportation performance measures to decision makers and the public, make more informed and transparent project decisions across NDOT's entire program, improve project prioritization and project certainty, and create a lasting collaborative process to ensure the plan's continuous sleep moves Nevada towards achieving statewide goals while also adapting to new developments. I've listed a website. We have a survey that you guys are all welcome to take regarding our vision and priorities for Nevada's transportation network, and we encourage you all to take that. Okay, so the One Nevada plan. This is a new graphic, and I really think it helps explain what we're trying to do. Basically, what it'll do is funnel projects as indicated. As you can see, what we need to do is understand all the needs and projects, have them wrap into one plan that will then help us prioritize and fund those projects for the entire region. The important point is across the state, priorities will be rolled into the One Nevada plan, which will ensure a statewide approach to addressing our regional transportation needs. Next. So this is kind of our phasing approach to the One Nevada. Currently, we're in phase two. Phase one, which we are still sort of developing, is our visioning. We're coming up with a strategic plan currently for the department. And with that, we hope to develop a long-range vision and goals. And also with that visioning, we hope that we do have intense agency collaboration. The current phase we're in, we're looking at trends and forecasts. We're looking to examine existing conditions as well as future conditions. We're also examining what kind of performance measures we're currently looking at and how we can use those measures to further the transportation network and its ability to meet Nevada's needs. Something that we're working pretty hard on is the scenario planning side. Basically, what we're trying to do is develop a number of trends so we can start understanding where our region is going to go and start hopefully prioritizing correctly on where we need to place projects and funds. The third phase, which hopefully we start soon, we'll look at performance-based strategies, basically the prioritization of funding. That's one of the things that we're really trying to hammer home. Also, it'll give us tools to develop decisions based on those priorities. And of course, finally, we'll have that final draft report. The current project manager is looking to do road show type of events. Those are mainly directed towards the rural counties. But one thing we're trying to do is advance some outreach to the MPOs. And I'll talk about that a little later. So some of the key features: NDOT strategic plan update, future conditions and needs, scenario planning. We are also going to develop critical corridor plans for the I-11, the I-15, the 80, 93, 50, and 95. Again, we're going to look at performance measures, see if we need to move some of our performance measures, and start actually using what we're measuring to make informed decisions. Also, with the scenario planning, we are going to have some outreach efforts in order to start getting not only the MPO, but other crucial agencies involved in helping develop that. Okay, so finally, future project updates. Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. We're updating the STIP. We'll be looking to coordinate another visit with this group in order to present the draft of the STIP. It'll likely be in August, but we'll coordinate with the Campo staff. As you can see, the timeline, public comment period starts in August. State board approval or acceptance, it's not approval, in September. And then finally, October, we'll get FHWA, FTA approval. Another project that we're working on is the Northern Nevada Regional Transit Study. The RFP should be released by July. Project's expected to take 12 to 18 months. And what that is that it's a high-level look at our regional transit needs of Northern Nevada. The five counties that are involved are Carson, Churchill, Lyon, Washoe, and Story. Other counties might be brought into this study, but That'll be determined once we get a contractor on board. So that kind of concludes my study or my presentation. If you guys have any questions, please feel free.
Any questions?
Kevin, so what changed between where we were last year and now you're proceeding to a new method of implementation now? So I just watched all this, which seems like, you know, strategic planning 101. So is it the collaboration that you're trying to get with other agencies in the implementation that's changed, or what's the direction that's being changed?
So, in a, correct me if I'm wrong, but so what we did with the tours and what we're doing now with the MPO coordination, is that what you're interested in, or is it the long-range plan that you're more interested in?
It's the long-range plan.
Well, this is our, okay, so FAST Act, the new transportation bill, actually needed, required that we develop a performance-based long-range plan. What we currently have is a long-range plan that's very policy-based. Part of that is there's nothing to it. There's no teeth. So with this approach, we hope to be able to not only develop a prioritization process that's something that all of you can prioritization process that not only we can use and show to you how we're developing projects, but also it'll be something that will help us understand the needs a little bit better, rather than kind of the somewhat shotgun approach of how we select projects now.
Questions?
Can I just add on to that?
Sure.
A little bit, just to add a little more detail about Kevin's answer. Previously, like he said, our long-range plan is just a policy document. It was pretty old. You're required to have it cover at least 20 years. When you're just talking policies, there's really no requirement for update. So not only will this bring us into the new requirements of MAP 21 and FAST Act, but we're actually going beyond those requirements to better align with the MPO's RTPs. So there's still no requirement for the state to have a project-based plan, but that's our intent, especially because most of the projects are in the MPO areas. It shouldn't be that difficult to pull all that into our long-range plan. So that the intent is that your RTPs and the other MPOs will integrate into this, so there's one place to look for, you know, everything that's going on in transportation for the state.
So, Dirk, if you go back to my funnel that you thought was the Hyperloop, right there, if you can see that we have sort of an arrow of a regional plan. That's a horrible background. I apologize. Modal plan, corridor studies, county tours, and then preservation, sorry. So that's kind of the approach that we're trying to take, is that we want to have all those projects come in. We want to sort of start vetting them through the One Nevada prioritization and funding process, so that we're looking at a regional approach rather than, again, just looking at, okay, what do we need to react to so we can be a little bit more proactive in the way we address the needs of the state. It's a good approach. That's the way we should be doing it. Right.
When you say performance-based, what do you mean? Is that like capacity needs, pavement condition needs, or
so
what's performance-based?
We have probably 70 performance measures. Some are MAP 21 requirements. Some are developed through a MPO NDOT liaison sort of meeting. So basically that performance-based approach, performance measure, would be looking at how we're doing. You know, if our goal is to have, for instance, what's one of our performance measures? It's
well, the safety.
So if we set, so the problem with performance measures is that you do have to basically have something that you're looking at and comparing it against you. So our performance measures are just starting. So we have to understand, okay, this is what we're going to measure. Now we have some measurements against it. So now we can start saying, is what we're doing actually helping change or help our performance in terms of safety? Does that somewhat answer your question?
And there's certain, like, as Kevin said, there's certain required ones by the federal government, and then we're doing additional ones also. So you have to at least have those federally required performance measures and targets in your plan and show that you're investing in line with improving those measures. And the three categories required by the feds are safety, preservation, pavement and bridge primarily, and system performance.
And so part of the long range will help, or One Nevada will help not only document those measurements, but also show them and become more transparent with those goals and also how we're doing.
So that's why it explains all those marbles at the top. It's kind of project driven, but as you put the performance measures in there, it tightens it down to what's going to be acceptable on the NDOT side. So those performance measures are critical for the communities to understand so that they can prepare projects that are going to meet those performance measures. And I sure hope you had three of them, but I didn't hear intermodal in there, so I was kind of bummed out that they...
We are, so that's not one, well, there are some transit requirements through FTA on the FHWA side. That's not a required one. We're still figuring out what system performance means, but that is an area that we're adding additional measures in a coordinated effort between NDOT and the MPOs through our planning executive group.
Is that what you're going to say, Dirk?
Yeah, just to let you know that we are actively working with them. There's four MPOs in Nevada, and we're all at the table, and we're all talking. The rules from the federal government are still coming out, and they outline how you're going to track these measures, make sure that there's consistency, that we're all looking at the same numbers, we're not comparing apples to oranges. So we are all at the table, and we're moving forward kind of as together as a state, which is really good and which is really unique, even, you know, to the country. And so I think we're in a good spot. So staff has nothing but good things to say.
Back to your point about the marbles, it also funnels down due to funding as well. I mean, we have a number of needs, and we need to be able to show you how we're funneling those needs down so that we do have a doable program, or we have projects that we can get done. Funding's a really critical point to this process.
Well, we have a mint here in Carson, so you could start producing that part of it. So, yeah, I'm clear on that. I'm really glad that Cantle sits in those meetings with you, because I remember at least 5 years ago they talked about One Nevada plan. The ball started rolling, I think, that long ago. But they've come to a decision here, I think, that they can measure all this and that it's really explainable to people working with NDOT to decide how these projects all get done and how the money's shared. So thank you. And Brad has another question.
So, Kevin, is there a function in the funding formula to protect the rurals when it comes to filtering the projects out by funding? So you have the MPOs, and that's going to be the vast majority of the state, but there's still a lot of projects that are critical in the rurals. How are they protected? How are those projects? How do they get through the system?
Right. No, that's a good question. It's truly difficult to compete with some larger urbanized areas because clearly they have, you know, when you're looking at crash data and you see those lines, you know, 100 versus 2,000. But that's where prioritization, and that's where that will be important when we start with those road shows with the rurals as well as the MPOs, of having that conversation of what's important to them and why. Truthfully, we don't want to get into a point where we're earmarking funds, because we want to look at the network, the transportation network as a whole, and make sure that we are doing what's right for all of the state. So it's a great question, and it's going to be answered. It's just we're not quite there yet. Right.
Maybe a different colored marble that gives them a higher priority or something. Any other questions? Seeing none, I thank you. Is there anybody from the audience like to come forward to speak to this? Go ahead. State your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Mark Costa, Multimodal Program Development Chief. What I want to add to regarding the question about the rules is a very good one, because they certainly have legitimate needs that impact the entire state. And one of the things we're looking at is, with this one Nevada plan, we'll be developing various strategies to go ahead and meet our goals and objectives for that. And similar to what we did with our freight plan that was approved in 2016, is that we'll be showing what our strategies are and ways to get to the strategies, which would include projects that would go ahead and benefit the rural areas. In fact, in Kevin's presentation, you already saw some of the corridors that we're studying, like in 93 or 95, pass through the rural areas. So they will be receiving some benefits from that, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm Don Ault. I'm a Land County Commissioner. There's all these plans throughout the throughout Nevada, but with the legislature, the water bills that came up, they were mainly because of Pahrump in the Silver Springs area, Basin 102. Basin 102 is over-allocated by six times. And 102 goes from Silver Springs halfway to Fernley, clear almost to Shears, through that mountain range, almost to Gardnerville. And it takes in almost 100% of the pine nuts. But that water basin is over-allocated by that much. And I think that there should be plan somewhere in the future for bringing water in from out of state. That's if all the water was being used that people had right to use in 102, over two-thirds of the wells would start going dry. So this is a major problem. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure how to react to that for this agenda item, but it'll be in the minutes. And were you requesting any type of action or just making a comment, sir? All right, thank you, sir. Anybody else in the public? Bring it back here. Is there any last minute questions here, or are we moving forward? Seeing none, we'll move to item 6B on the agenda. For possible action to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number PR223-17-804 for commitment to complete the fiscal year 2018 Unified Planning Work Program, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions or a change in value of funding up to 20% of the initial funding amount. Is that you, Patrick?
Or I'll take it.
All right.
Sure. Yep, this is an annual agreement, and it's going to provide funding for Campbell staff to perform their responsibilities under the Unified Planning Work Program, also known as UPWP, which we adopted last year. It's a two-year program, so we're in the second year, but due to making sure that funding's available, we go through an annual process to allocate the funding. So, and yeah, this is, I mean, that's pretty, I think that's all I have. It's, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, there is no time limit on your talking to make sure you cover.
I'll just add one thing, and that something just occurred to me is that, of course, this is specifically stating, you know, the transportation manager, and as I'll be leaving the city shortly, as it was in the case of the city engineer, you know, for a temporary time, if there needed to be a city engineer officially, that was Darren Schultz, Public Works Director. So in the unlikely case that something should come up regarding this agreement or another one for which you need a signature, obviously Darren Schultz is the responsible party.
So you can authorize up the food chain then? Is that what you're doing there? Which would certainly make sense, actually. And Brad has a comment.
So I don't have any problem with the agreement, but I would like to suggest, since Patrick is leaving, that we change the actual percentage amount that we would give the transportation manager the ability to sign a change for from 20% to 10%. Although I would say I talked to Patrick about this, and we've never had an instance where we've had a change that required a signature, but just I guess in the name of appearances, you know, since we're going to have a new transportation manager coming in, we should probably let them earn their stripes first.
Any other comments from the board? Are there any comments from the public on this matter? Seeing none, I'll bring it back, and a change has been made, and the request has been made for a change in the action. Do I hear a motion or discussion? Brad will make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number PR223-17-804 for commitment to complete the fiscal year 2018 Unified Planning Work Program, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions or a change in the value of the funding up to 10% of the initial funding amount.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second. Bob? Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. Next on the agenda is 6C, information only. Update on two unified planning work program tasks involving the purchase of bicycle and pedestrian counters and the development of a complete streets monitoring program for Carson City's Regional Transportation Commission. Dirk.
Thank you, Chair. So as you heard in the first presentation, the federal government wants us to start tracking performance. So as part of the 2017-2018 Unified Planning Work Program, we put in the task of purchasing pedestrian counters and bicycle counters to start tracking the performance of complete street improvements. So we purchased the equipment, not the cheapest, but wanted to bring it in. You might start seeing these around town, but this is a pedestrian counter, and you'll see it attached to a light pole, and it'll start tracking pedestrians. And so we put together a program for the Carson City RTC, but we've built in flexibility into the program so that member agencies, Douglas County, Lyon County, can request the use of that the technology so they can start counting pedestrians and bicyclists as well. So again, this is going to help us collect baseline data and then allow us to track trends and performances on our streets. So that's all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Go ahead, Sandra.
Is this device used in other locations, and have they had success with, you know, they've done tests and it works pretty well? I know pedestrian counting is always a little difficult. So.
It is. You need to be careful with it, because if you do it wrong, your numbers are going to look a lot larger than they really are. We did reach out before we purchased it. Fresno uses the same technology, and they were really happy with it. We looked at a few different companies. But this is, it's being used around the world. I actually met one of the representatives and got to see what they were using it in. And so I think it's good technology. It's being used. And there's information in your packet about that technology.
Any other questions? And you're going to start this when?
July. The program, which I'm going to go into more details for the RTC, we're going to start that program in July.
Thanks. Seeing no more questions, call for the public. Anybody have comments on this item on the agenda? Seeing none, bring it back to the commission. It was information only. So we'll go into item 6D, information only again. Information on Campo's annual obligation report document. Is that you again, Dirk?
Yeah. Yep. Thank okay. you, Chair. So per federal regulations, MPOs are required to put together an annual obligation report. And what this report shows is what federal funds were obligated during the federal fiscal year, so October 1st to the end of September. In the past, CAMPO has not done this because all of the funds were being tracked through NDOT, which includes our FTA funds, But recently, since FTA funds started getting passed through the MPO instead of in the Nevada Department of Transportation, the document that we were once using is no longer, does not meet the requirements. So this is the first year we're actually presenting this to you, but we'll be doing this every year after. And so it just shows kind of the federal funds. And one clarification is that obligation does not necessarily mean that we spent it. It just means that those federal funds are ready to be spent. Concludes my comments. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? We'll let you off on this one, I guess, Dirk. Anybody from the public like to make a comment on this item? Seeing none, I bring it back here, and it's informational only, so we move on to internal communications and admin matters, non-action items, or future agenda items, which are you still in that seat, Patrick?
For now. Last time, I just have one thing to bring up, unless Dirk has something to add, and that is that you heard Kevin Vary from NDOT talk about the State Transportation Improvement Program. We're also going to be working on an update cycle on the Regional Transportation Improvement Program for Campo as well.
Is that it for that then? Okay, so is there any board comments? I'll start with Sandra and move this way.
As Kevin mentioned, the freeway project is nearing completion. We anticipate having a ribbon cutting and some sort of walk, bike, public event on July 22nd.
Our project on Jackson Valley Road started. They start pulverizing the road this week. And so if anybody's traveling on Jackson Valley Road, expect some delays with traffic control. Project will put back 12-foot lanes and 6-foot bike lanes, so those that ride bikes, it'll be a nice place to ride when the project's all done. Thanks.
Anybody that would like to say goodbye to Patrick, we'll have a 5-minute break between here and RTC, and then I have some comments about him too at the beginning of the RTC meeting. Stay tuned.
Is it a roast then? I would do that. No comment from Lori? Jack? Bob? No comments? I see. There was only thing I noted earlier was that the city managers had influence over the politics because they were adding stripes to people here for their work here now instead of promotions. You get bars and stripes. Like, carry on that. So, thank you. We're at the last public comment. If anybody had comments for Campo today that wasn't on the agenda or on the agenda, you can come forward. Seeing none, we move to the next meeting. It's scheduled for 4:30 Wednesday. Oh, there was one. Oh, you changed your mind? Well, you can still come up if you'd like to make a comment. Oh. All right. Okay. Well, then you don't need to come up. It would be in the wrong minutes then. It wouldn't work well. So the next meeting is tentatively scheduled 4:30 Wednesday, July 12th here. We do have one agenda item at this point, and Dirk will learn that system out real quick here. So I call for a motion for adjournment. Brad for adjournment. We're adjourned. 5-minute break. Thank you. How'd they get the money for the bike lane?
This is, I'm not sure what. And this only goes out to 10 miles. Right.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. Today is June 14th, 2017. We are in the Sierra Room here in good old Carson City Community Center. Kathy, could you call roll, please?
Chairperson Bonkowski.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Smolenski.
Here.
Commissioner Bagwell.
Here.
Commissioner Kimbrough.
Here.
Commissioner Zentino.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Kathy. Agenda management notice. I can take items out of order. Or combine items for consideration or move an item anytime I want.
The master.
It's going to be a fun meeting.
Well, Mr. Chairman, unless, you know, I'm just doing this a little bit on the fly here, but item 6A is going to take a little bit, and we do have we do have someone here for item 6B and 6B, 6B and C, which should go pretty quick. So if you wouldn't mind doing those first so that that person could depart. Unless you think B and C are going to be tough.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Are there any other requests to change the agenda? Seeing none, then we will accept the agenda as amended. Disclosures, any member of the RTC board can make a disclosure at this time or during an item as it appears on the agenda. We are now on item number 4, public comment. I'm going to do a small presentation here first, and then we'll open this up to public comment. So if anybody has any public comments about our dearly departed transportation manager, they can make them at that time. So at this time, I'm going to come down to the podium, and Dirk is going to come up, and we have a little presentation for you. So you need to come up too, Patrick.
I intend to plead the fifth.
I'll tell you now.
All right. Well, as you all know, Patrick is leaving our fair city for California. So he's taking a job in Merced. You know, it's been a real pleasure working with you, Patrick. I'm gonna miss you. You have taught me a lot over the last 2 years since I came in green and basically knew nothing. It's been, you know, you've got a great staff here that you've trained well. So we have a little plaque for you. Dirk, if you want to come up and read the plaque.
Yep. Recognition.
The mic.
In recognition of Patrick Pitchinger, thank you for 11 years of outstanding and dedicated service to Carson City and its residents.
And Patrick, I also have a gift for you. For me personally, this is a $200 gift certificate to Adele, so you can go treat your wife right before you leave
Holy
town.
Holy moly. Wow. Thank you very
All
much.
All right. Thank you.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So I'm going to go back up to the dais, and I'm going to open this up to public comment if anybody else here has any public comment about Patrick or anything else.
I didn't prepare anything. I probably should have, but I will echo some of the chair's remarks. Patrick, I've known you since my prior career on the dark side of consultant. I think we've worked together since you started here, probably, and I also have learned a lot. Sometimes it's been a pleasure. Sometimes we've challenged each other, but I think we've learned from each other, and I've always appreciated your passion and your hard work, and you will be missed. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll say that. You know, Sandra's always been wonderful to work with, and indeed, I'm sure I'm the one that was challenging, not her. I've said this many, many times, and she's heard me say it out loud too. I've worked with a lot of DOTs, and the planning section, you know, a lot of times gets the short shift, and they won't even let a planner be in charge of the planners. And this is the first time any DOT I've ever worked with in over 20 years that they actually let a planner be in charge of the planners, and that made a good pick when they did what they did with Sandra.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll say it anyway.
Is there anybody else that would like to come up? Courtney, come on up.
I just want to say, when I started working with the Safe Routes to School program, I was not a transportation person. I was a gal who really liked biking and walking, and I got the job, and I love it. But Patrick has always treated me as a colleague, even when I came in and I didn't totally know what I was doing. He has always been helpful to me and helped out with projects and just really treated me as a person who was doing their job and doing a good job, and he was always a great resource for me, so I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Courtney. Is there anybody else who would like to come up? Mr. City Manager. Go ahead, Nick, fire him.
So, no, not at all. So, For the record, Mr. Chair, Nick Morano, Patrick, you know you're going to be very hard to replace, and I think you know that. You're one of a handful of people who actually makes everything that people see here in Carson City. You're one of the people that actually makes it all work. When I look back, I've only been here 3 years, but when I look back at the projects that you've touched and that you've had a hand in, every one of them has a common trend, and the common trend is the execution and the planning of them are superb. I mean, everything from the infrastructure projects, the routine maintenance projects. If you look at the JAC system, how far the JAC system has come, not just in the infrastructure, in the technology, in the customer-centric facing of the JAC system, I think you've done a lot, and a lot of it is cutting edge. As I said, you're going to be hard to replace. A year and a half ago, if you remember, as we're gearing up right now for the Carson City Off-Road, a year and a half ago, at the city level, it was not looking so good. I didn't have anyone who was actually in charge of herding all the cats. I put you in charge of it. It was actually the best decision that I've made in 3 years here. Because the Carson City Off-Road, from the city perspective, from the execution, again, from the planning and the execution phase, went off without a hitch. It has become, I think, and will become our signature event. It's put Carson City on the map with a really important demographic. We're going to see that this coming week. So that event really is going to have your fingerprints on it for a long time. You're going to leave behind here quite a legacy, and I think you should be proud of it. You're going to a great job talking about herding cats. You're going to be herding some cats there with all those local governments, but you're ready for it. And I think you're going to be a great boss. You're going to be a great chief executive. You've done a superb job here. The only thing that we could have done is get that fuel revenue indexing passed, but it wasn't for lack of trying. So I'm going to miss you, Patrick. You've done a great job, and I wish you good luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
And for my part, I don't know about that best decision part for sure, but I just want to say that as I was going through this process of applying for this position, it's amazing. I wish I could remember everything that was said, but you go through an interview process and you have a board of, in my case, 11 people asking you questions, and it was amazing how many things I would answer because it was like, well, this is I've watched Nick Morano come into a place where he hasn't been before and really establish himself and be a good leader in the way he handles people. And even for a longer period of time and a more direct impact, watch how Darren Schultz does it, running a very large department, and balancing a lot of competing interests and a lot of things you have to do to be a leader like that. But I've also, I've learned from all the folks that have been sitting up there. We've had, just a few names in the past, Brad is my fourth chair. I had Richard Staub and Shelley Aldean and John McKenna. And everybody's been different and everybody's been fine to work with in their own special way. And I've had, a dozen different direct reports and learned a lot of different things over the years. And I've just had the ability to do so many things that when I did come time for me to take a next step in a career, it was almost a surprise to me where I went through an interview and I was actually able to answer all the questions. Because in the last 11 years, I actually have been there and done that on a lot of different things, and it's been an amazing opportunity to experience such a wide variety. And I never thought I'd be involved with something like the Carson City Off-Road, but indeed, it's been a great experience and educational for me. And I'm have no doubt that my next experience will be an education as well, but it's also an opportunity. And it's really hard to leave, and I think the hardest thing about leaving is few weeks or so going to meetings, and you sit down and you go, man, I'm in this room full of 20 diverse people, and I know all these guys, and ladies, of course, and all the people in the room, and it's going to be hard to not be around those people anymore to the same degree. So, but I can tell you that I'm going to be commuting back for the first couple of months, and I will be here for that freeway opening. There's no doubt I will be there for the ribbon cutting, and I thank you all again for having me for the last 11 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
So I just want to say congratulations, and you are Merced's gain.
So, Patrick.
take a few more things to say, you know. This is your moment, you know. So, your fingerprints are all over this community, and your bicycling advocacy and support in this community is phenomenal. And the bronze that from the league to make it a bicycle community, and you were the lead to help us get that done from the volunteers. You listen to your public. They come in, and you listen to them. You take the time. You help form traffic to even take more comments. You're always out there. You're juggling about five balls at a time. You've learned how to do that. I've had phone calls from you on days you're supposed to be off, on weekends, because you're in the office getting all the work done. So there's a lot of legacy for you here. So I hope you understand and know that a lot of people know who helped support get a lot of these things done, because you were a support. You weren't the government agent that sat there and said, well, this, you can't do that because of this. You come in and say, well, let's see how we can get that done type of person. That's why Merced probably had no trouble pulling you into this thing. So I've watched these meetings since I'm fairly new to this board, but the funding sources, you've gotten every opportunity there is to make sure Carson City gets its fair share. And a lot of time the challenges were nothing but Patrick defending Carson City's right to have more of the pie. So it's just that the pie wasn't always ours, but we could try for all the pie you can get. So I always appreciated that and understood that. So I just really want to thank you for that and let you know that you will be missed. And hopefully the new person rides a bike. I hope that might be a requirement that they have to ride a bike to keep that program going as successfully as it has in this community. So thanks, Patrick, very much.
Thank you.
And I would echo what Mark said about the money, too. I mean, you have been an exception. You've done an exceptional job of bringing money into Carson City for road projects, so thank you. Is there any other public comment regarding Patrick or anything else? Come on up.
Hello, I am Doreen Mack with Lofty Expressions and president of the Downtown 2020 Group. We are the motivation behind the downtown improvements, and Patrick, it's because of you and all the transactions that we did back and forth in meetings that we got the downtown parking, and I will forever be grateful to you for that. Thank you. And this is Sam Flaccus. What I'm going to hand out to you. What this is a arch that we have designed for the downtown historic area. This one is at the corner of Fifth Street and Carson Street, and the other one would be at William Street and Carson Street. This defines that area and helps make Carson City a destination place for historic downtown. Sam is the artist and designer of this arch. So I'm handing these to you now because at some point down the road we will be putting this on the agenda and doing a presentation and all of the whole dynamics of this. And we are in the process of working on it and seeing what we can do for grants and looking for a structural engineer. And there's a whole lot of process that's going in behind this. But we want to put it on the notes so at least you know it's out there. Anything you want to address?
The only thing I want to address is that, Patrick, thank you for your service over the years. I've been involved with this for 3 years, 2 or 3 years. Not nearly as long as most everybody else in here, but I bike to work every day, and I appreciate the bike paths, and I appreciate the bike lanes that you helped install with Carson Street. And I also appreciate the light on Research Way that you described for me right there on the corner there a couple months ago. And it's been a real help getting across the street to the gas station for my burrito fix. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
And thank you. And if any of you know a structural engineer that would be interested in this process, I hope you send them our way. Thanks.
Thank you, Doreen. Thank you, Sam. Anybody else for public comment? All right. I see nobody else coming up to the podium, so we are moving on to item 5A on the agenda, approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? If so, I would entertain a motion.
I move to approve the minutes of May 10th, 2017 for the RTC Commission as presented.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now moving to item 6B for possible action to approve cooperative agreement P207-17-016 between the Carson City RTC and the Nevada Department of Transportation for 12 battery backup systems and 239 retro reflective backplates, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to the agreement regarding time extensions or a change in value.
I'm going to do this one, Mr. Chairman. This is frankly a wonderful thing that I'm happy to be bringing before you. And I'm going to take this one, and we'll let him stay in his seat unless we need him. But James Jacklett, who manages, you know, pretty much everything with electronics for Public Works, is here, and he gets the credit for this. Truly, we have approximately 50 traffic signals in Carson City, and very few of them have a battery backup system. So, and we've had, you know, I was, you know, had a very slight involvement in a fire response last year, for example, on the south side of town, and we actually had to have one of our technicians come out and hook up a generator to get a traffic signal to be working, because it was just dark otherwise. And that is one of the signals that will be improved as part of this. As you can see, there's a map that's attached that shows the locations. These are the higher volume locations, the ones that are associated with the state of Nevada. Currently, we're glad we're doing this while the roads are still belong to them, in the case of South Carson. But the bottom line is that about a quarter of the signals in town, and the ones with the most traffic and the most need and the most important, are going to be improved. And as an added bonus, as you can see in the title, we've got retro reflective backplates. That's the rectangle that goes around the three circles that are red, yellow, and green. There's retro reflective material on there. And that's a proven safety countermeasure to draw attention to those signals. And you can always see them, you know, regardless of what's going on with the signal head itself. And the only other thing I'll mention is that this just helps us in our general capital needs of the signal system, which, you know, resources are always limited. We are doing about another quarter of the signals with battery backups, with city funds as well. So in concert, when these two programs are done, the most important half of the signals in town that have the most traffic will have battery backups on them. So we're very happy with that.
Patrick, the intersection that's missing on here is Highway 50 and 580. Is that because it already has a battery backup? And I don't mean missing as in it hasn't been done. I just mean it's not one of the 12.
Yeah. Good evening. James Jacklett, Operations Manager, Public Works. It's in there. It may be listed as William Spooey, Highway 50. It is on there. It's shown on there as Highway 50 and I-580, and that is the Spooey, the interchange.
I think it was just an error with the map, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it's in the table. The bottom of first page of Attachment A.
So I just want to clarify, there is a 50 and 80 that shows in the detail, but that's south or 50 west. I'm talking about 50 east. So it shows one on Lompoline and
Highway. Highway 50 west. It's Highway 50 east that we're doing. Highway 50 west, the new Spooner Junction, it's getting a battery backup as part of the new project. We also have a couple other signals, including the Research Way signal, that have a battery backup. We've been putting them in. We have another 12 or another 13 that we're installing, in the process of installing right now. We have a ranking, a priority matrix for those. And as capital funding allows, we'll continue to do that this next year and on into the future until we get all of these with battery backup power. And that, combined with this other one, I just want to say that NDOT's been very good to work with. I have a good working relationship with engineering over there. They've had some recent turnover with the departure of Tom Moore as their traffic engineer, but we continue to foster good relationships with them, and we're going to be doing more of this in the future. Anything we can do together to improve the safety of the traveled ways for the public is.
So, James, you're saying that Highway 50 East and 580 has backups now?
No, Highway 50 East is going to be done in this project. So just to run down here, this is going to be these signals to make it easy. Highway 50 from the SPUI, from the interchange, east, all the way through Deer Run. We're going to do that corridor.
So basically the person that made the map, we didn't catch it. They should have put a dot on the 50 East one, because the one on the south is already getting done outside of this as part of the project with NDOT.
That was the answer I was looking
okay.
for.
Okay, the rest I believe is reflected correctly.
Okay. Any other questions from the commissioners? Is there anybody in the public that wanted to speak to this issue? Seeing nobody approaching, I'll bring this back to the commission and entertain a motion.
Can I ask a question first?
You may.
Maybe I shouldn't, but you had taken the 20 down to 10. Are you going to do that? Would you prefer that?
Yeah, I think that when the motion is made, that'll be in there.
Were you going to make the motion on Quebec?
I move to approve cooperative agreement P207-17-016 between the Carson City RTC and the Nevada Department of Transportation for 12 battery backup systems and 239 retro reflective backplates, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions or a change in the value of funding up to 10% of the initial funding amount.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a couple of seconds. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are on to item 6C on the agenda for possible action to approve cooperative agreement NM274-17-816 between the Carson City RTC and the Nevada Department of Transportation for a rectangular rapid flashing beacon project on US 50 at Silver State Street, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions. And Patrick, you're taking this as well?
Yes, I'll take this as well. The state of Nevada, Department of Transportation, has been doing numerous safety projects across the state, specifically on roads that are owned and operated by the state. And when they were, as part of their process of looking at different alternatives, they actually identified several pedestrian improvements in the Campo area, actually, including another one at Pike Street in Lyon County on US 50, and this one on US 50 at Silver State Street. And for reference, that's on US 50, of course, East US 50, just west of where Fairview turns into College. There's a location there where NDOT safety and bicycle and pedestrian staff had identified a traffic safety concern where unfortunately there was a fatality in the past, and they have been working on a design and implementation plan for what's called a rectangular rapid flashing beacon. It's that is what we have on Stewart Street currently behind the legislature there on the east of the state, some of the state buildings. We've got two of those. The one that they're designing is a little different. It actually includes overhead lighting as well, signals that are overhead. So it is more involved. And this agreement before you is consistent with what we negotiated with them regarding the maintenance of those signals and who's responsible for those, because they are in Carson City, but they're on a state-owned road. Hope enough to bother James, but I assure you that James has been involved in the review of the design as well as the development of this agreement to be acceptable and consistent with what we do.
So I have a question potentially for you, Kevin. Is there a process in place to monitor the performance of the intersection? So this is a two-year contract. At the end of that 2 years, is NDOT going to evaluate this to see if they want to continue with this and roll over the contract? Sandra?
For the record, Sandra Rosenberg, Assistant Director for Planning at NDOT. I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that. But I think we generally monitor our safety improvements. I'll double check with our safety staff.
The reason I ask is because there's I can literally think of probably half a dozen intersections that could probably benefit from this particular type of improvement. So there was a method that went into picking this particular one. It'd be really interesting to have the information on the performance of this to see if there's a benefit to it or not, that we could then use to maybe determine other intersections to use it at.
That's an excellent question. The challenge is going to be what exactly are you measuring? I don't know that we have the pre-information in terms of number of crossings and things like that. Obviously, we track all of the crashes that result in injuries and fatalities, and we hope that there's not enough of those to make it significant. But I'll talk with our safety folks to see how we're looking at effectiveness of this type of treatment.
I made an assumption that there would have been some criteria at that intersection that was used to make a decision to put it there in the first place.
It typically has to do with land uses. If there's land uses on either side of the road that tend to generate a lot of pedestrian activity crossing at those locations, as well as how closely the next signals are and things like that. But in terms of measure of effectiveness, I'll talk with our safety staff. They may have something in mind that I'm not aware of.
That would be great. I would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Chairman, I just want to give a little more credit to NDOT related to your comment about other locations. Kevin's presentation previously in the Campo presentation mentioned some other projects that are going on. He mentioned Stewart Street, but just to be very clear, NDOT certainly gets credit because we've had concerns for pedestrians on Stewart Street right in front of the state office buildings there. We've got the DMV, the DOT, and the Bryan building there, and, you know, talking about land uses. We've got office buildings on one side and retail on the other. And NDOT has really stepped up in that they are right now designing additional rectangular rapid flashing beacons, two of them on Stewart Street there, at two of those crosswalks. And they're going to be looking to put federal money towards those. And we're only being asked to provide the 5% match. So we very much appreciate that.
Do you have additional questions from the commissioners? Is there anybody from the public that would like to comment on this item? I see nobody coming up, so I'll bring this back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion. I move to approve cooperative agreement NM274-17-816 between the Carson City RTC and the Nevada Department of Transportation for a rectangular rapid flashing beacon project on US 50 at Silver State Street, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now moving backwards up the agenda to item 6A to approve the South Carson Street Complete Street Study. And Dirk, you have this one.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to present the South Carson Street Complete Streets Corridor Study. It's been about a year in the making. And I want to start by introducing Devin Moore. He's walking in the audience, but he is part of the team with Kimley Horn, along with Molly O'Brien, who was under the weather and could not make it today. But that team did a lot of the heavy lifting, and so I want to make sure that we recognize them. Just give you an overview. I'm going to go through a few slides, and then I'll turn it over to Devin. So we're just going to go through the purpose of the study. We're going to go through the scope. We're going to go through the public outreach that we did. We're going to discuss the design alternatives that we evaluated, and then we're also going to talk to you about what we were recommending and then the next step. So the purpose of the study, as you all know, the Carson City Freeway Phase 2B3 is nearing completion. With that, forecast models are anticipating an approximate drop of 20,000 vehicles, or 40%. So the six travel lanes are anticipated to no longer be needed to move highway traffic through the corridor. There is an existing agreement between Carson City and the Nevada Department of Transportation. Per that agreement, there is a need, or I should say a requirement, to resurface South Carson Street, specifically from Fairview south to the interchange where the highway now runs, as well as the construction for those improvements need to be underway by 2019. Additionally, the purpose of the scope was to do public outreach, to engage the community, engage businesses, property owners, and get consensus for the design and for moving forward. So the scope, we asked the consultants to look at the South Carson Street from 5th Street to Roland Street. And the reason for that was we didn't want to leave a chunk of Carson Street without any plans. As you all know, downtown got improved. Now we're looking at south of Fairview, so we thought it made sense to look at that whole corridor. It's approximately 2.5 miles in length. We wanted to look at safety improvements. We want to look at maintaining and, if possible, improving business access. We want to look at making improvements for transportation for all modes. And we also want to develop probable costs so that we can identify. We want to come up with a design that was financially feasible, you know, as a starting point before we get into design. So currently the funding that's identified is $5.1 million that's going to be transferred from NDOT to the city as part of that agreement. There's about $1 million in sales tax from the 1/8 cent sales tax that's been allocated to this project. And then last year we won a $750,000 transportation alternatives program grant that's going to be for bicycle and pedestrian improvements along that corridor. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Devin.
Thank you very much, Dirk. And thank you for your time. Devin Moore with Kimley Horn. This has been an exciting project to work on. Growing off of the excitement of downtown, what happened on South Carson Street there. So as you can see in the graphic here in front of you, the study limits were from 5th Street, continuing down south, down to Roland Street, which was the conclusion of our study. And if you click the next section, as you're aware, you know, the I-580 is going to continue and connect down there at US 50. And so really the character of South Carson Street is going to change. As Dirk mentioned, 20,000 less vehicles every day on that piece of roadway. And that's, again, the purpose of the study. So it was a big concern, a big focus of Carson City to have the public involved. Go to the next slide. So our first public meeting, we went to the public really before we had done anything. We wanted to hear the public's comments. We wanted to hear what they had to say. And during the first public meeting, we had roll plots laid out of the corridor and let anybody mark whatever they wanted to mark on it. From a consulting standpoint, it was great because we weren't proposing anything, so nobody was mad at us. Everybody got to share what they wanted to share, and it was a great information gathering session. We also had a presentation there and invited people to vote on certain aspects of complete streets or what they would like to see on South Carson Street. And we had 52 people, individuals, who voted in that. And we'll step through a couple of their responses here in these next couple slides. So overall, and again, these are responses to questions that we provided at the public meeting. 78% of the people there preferred vehicle access over mobility. They wanted faster travel times in the specific corridor. 94% felt the lighting improvements were of medium to high importance. And 78% felt that upgrading the streetscape and landscaping with landscaping furniture and other amenities was a medium to high priority. And so now we're going to step a little bit into walkability and bikeability, the ability that you have to walk or bike along this section of the roadway. Next one, please. And almost everybody, I think, except for one grumpy guy in the back, felt that improvements were needed on South Carson Street. I didn't vote. Maybe I was the grumpy guy there. But 76% felt that walkability was medium to high importance. So there's a big chunk of the people that were there that felt like they were needed, and 76 that thought they were really, really, really very important. And we asked the question, well, what would make you want to walk more on South Carson Street? And these were the responses there. 60% said if it was an attractive streetscape, kind of in my mind, we know what's happened in downtown Carson Street. 20% more vibrant street scene, wider sidewalks, and 7% access to transit. And as we look to the next questions were bikeability. And again, overwhelmingly, 98% felt that the improvements were needed of this section of South Carson Street. 82% felt that bikeability was of medium to high importance, so we really wanted to see this happen. And 75% said that they mainly bike for recreation or exercise. And again, a similar kind of question, what would make you want to bike more on South Carson Street? These were the responses. Bike paths separated from roadways, clocked in at 65%. Buffered bike lanes is 26%. We'll describe a little bit of that here in a little bit. And 19% striped or signed bike lanes on the street. So what we did is we took that information back, and with the state of the practice, with the comments that we received, we designed two different alternatives conceptually to take back to the public that both that were addressed the results that we received at the public meeting, but in a couple of different ways. So I'm going to step you through both of those alternatives. So alternative A, you can see before you here, has two travel lanes in both direction, a two-way left turn lane in the middle of the roadway, which allows better access to businesses, a shared use path for pedestrians and bicyclists, as you can see on that. That's the east side of the roadway there. We're looking kind of north up South Carson Street. On the east side of the roadway, there's a landscape median and then that separated bicycle and pedestrian facility there. And we maintain the southbound bike lane on the west side of the roadway to continue down from Fifth Street as well, so that bicyclists wouldn't have to switch over to the other side if they were already proceeding southbound there. And landscaping, again, that separates the bicycles and pedestrians from the vehicles on that path, and ADA sidewalk improvements and lighting. Alternative B is on the next slide. Was again, we're looking to do bicycle and pedestrian improvements. We're accommodating less vehicles on this very large roadway. So we removed one lane in each direction. Two travel lanes are provided here in alternative B. We've widened the median. We have a wide median and landscape median, which provides kind of similar to what it does today, channelized turn lanes from the median. Buffered bike lanes, so as you can see on both the west side and the east side, there's a buffer in between that bicycle lane that's close to the sidewalk and where the vehicles travel, as well as ADA sidewalk improvements and lighting for this one as well. So we took these with close coordination with the city of Carson, or Carson City, and worked through these and took these back to public meeting two, where we had great feedback and had everybody vote. We had a presentation there. Again, not everybody that went to the first meeting came to the second one, so we had a presentation to describe the scope and project need, and had everybody vote on the various alternative cross sections. And we provided stickers to everybody. Everybody had a couple of stickers that they were able to put on each of the boards and comment cards as well that we received. So next slide. So if you can see in this picture over here, I'm going to describe it. On the right side, there's two boxes towards the middle of that board, one that's covered in stickers and one that's not. If you can see that in the top middle, there are a bunch of different colored stickers, and at the bottom there's one sticker. Alternative A was that top section, and alternative B was the bottom section. And as you can see in the graph or in the chart there as well, it was overwhelmingly supportive of alternative A for those who attended the meeting. And we had over 60 people, 70 if we add those all up, 70 people vote in total at this public meeting. And so we decided, again, with coordination with Carson City, to move forward with alternative A as our preferred alternative. So next slide. The preferred alternative, the probable cost, we dug a little deeper and looked into what it's going to cost to do these improvements. And we broke these two up, as Dirk explained, the funding that we're getting from NDOT starts at Fairview and then goes south from there. So we broke the corridor into those two segments for the cost estimate. Fifth Street to Fairview, about $3.6 million, and Fairview down to Roland Street, about $10.3 million. And again, we already described the cross-section, but it includes those ADA sidewalk improvements, bike lanes, and that separated bicycle-pedestrian path that's separate from the roadway there. In addition to what we had described earlier, we proposed including a roundabout at Sonoma Street to help with access to improve entrance into the corridor as well as five enhanced pedestrian crossings east-west across Carson Street. So those are kind of the pieces of the alternative that were preferred and put forward in the plan. So the next steps from here, again, this is just a planning process. We haven't designed anything. These are all conceptual, and the numbers that we have, the probable cost estimates, they're very high level. And we haven't done a survey of the roadway or anything like that. And so that's to be defined in final design. So those are the next steps proceeding. And Carson City has got that on their table. And so with that, thank you again for your time. And we'll entertain any questions you might have.
Do you have any questions from the commissioners?
Mark? Maybe a couple comments. I know there hasn't been design work done, but when we were given the choice between A and B, I liked A, but when you have a plant barrier separating traffic from the bikes and the ped, which is a little new, putting pedestrians on blacktop with bikes when there's a sidewalk right next to it too, but the plant zones have to be so that traveling public in a vehicle or the bicycle can see at any junction, because the bicyclists are going to feel empowered.
Definitely.
And the cars are going to feel empowered. And if there's no sight, if you don't have plants really low so they can see what's going on, like they're coming off Snyder or they're going into Rayleigh's, it's a huge catastrophe. So
agreed.
In planning, I assume there's ways you can bring the planning zones down to nothing, actually, for the last 20 feet. So just a comment that was really scary to see that, because that was just terrible to think of the consequences of that.
Definitely. Yeah, that's something that definitely needs to be taken into account during design. A plant palette will, you know, come with the design, where the plants are going to be planted in those landscaped areas as well.
Then they talked about striking being an alternative from 5th to Fairview.
Correct.
They don't show that, so I'm assuming your striping is going to meet alternative A in some fashion?
Correct, yeah. It's,
just with paint?
Correct, yeah. So that's a less expensive alternative, right, something that we can implement a little quicker with less funds. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Dirk.
Yeah, so alternative A had has the path, but let me go back to that, actually. And so the thought is that since you have the width, you can kind of absorb a new design with the existing infrastructure, but not put money into infrastructure that would need to be torn up once you get to this, to alternative A. So, for example, right now you have a width of approximately 83 or 70-some feet, but the thought is to restripe it. You can put on-street parking, and then you can have two travel lanes and a center turn lane, but all you're really investing in is striping, and you're not putting money into infrastructure. So when the time comes that money is available, you can move to alternative A, which is where you're putting a landscape meeting in it.
Sure. Well, I was curious if you're going to carry the downtown traffic pattern all the way to Fairview with the striping, because you can't do A because there's plants and there's all these other things, that there's infrastructure.
Correct.
So was the striping to meet the same striping carry 5th up to Fairview? Is that kind of what you're saying? So you'd have two travel lanes instead of four and a turn lane?
If I can point you to page 29 of the report, if you've got the report there in front of you, the corridor was actually broken up into 5 segments as we analyzed it. And segment 1 and segment 2, which go from 5th Street to 10th and then from 10th to Stewart, those are the two alternatives that we could replace with striping, kind of.
The question is the kind of.
Right. And so basically we're not putting in the landscaping at that point, but with striping you can create a landscape or a painted buffer as opposed to a landscaped buffer at that point. So you still have those bike lanes on the east and the west, a painted buffer, where eventually we'd hope that we could get that landscaping in, and then those two lanes with a center turn lane.
So the lanes would drop from 4 to 2 at Fairview, if everything was right.
With a center turn lane. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I was asking, because I didn't see that as happening. It just says we could stripe.
Correct.
Which I thought would be a difficult task, but it probably, as you look at it, it's not as difficult as it looks.
It is a little challenging, particularly from 10th to Stewart, as the right-of-way expands throughout there. So it's going to take, the thought in alternative A was to take that landscape median in between the travel lanes and the pedestrian bike path and expand that as the right-of-way expanded. So, in this case with striping, you'd have to just paint that out with striping.
And then one other small item that may or may not be important, but you had a light fixtures that go up and go over the travel lanes. And with the plant barriers, you put a nice street light next to it, but you could actually come off the same light fixture and go over and hit the sidewalk.
Yes, sir.
And cut the cost considerably, but that's just a petty thought that'll come into planning and when it comes to bottom lines.
Into design, definitely, yeah. And again, this is very preliminary, and so we threw some, and we were pretty careful in what we were trying to show, because we didn't want people to fall in love with it, you know, at this point, because we haven't gone into design to decide what would really be appropriate.
Well, in addition to Mark's comments, I see that you have almost 25% of the cost is built into contingencies.
Right.
And I assume that's for the same reason. So we have additional or extra contingency plus that hasn't been value engineered yet.
Correct.
So I would assume that at the end of the day that the final number is going to come in considerably lower than $10 million.
That's the hope.
Nice. So sorry. For those of you who didn't see, Patrick rolled his eyes.
No, I didn't roll my eyes. No, I just
raised his eyebrows.
I'm considering, and something that the chairman pointed out to me a couple of days ago is that that the report from the consultant doesn't specifically say here's how much money we have, because frankly, that's not their job. It's our job to find the money. And I'll just, the very brief overview is that we've got $5.1 million from the Nevada Department of Transportation in lieu of the mill and overlay that they were previously going to do. We appreciate that and that working with us on that. We do have approximately $1 million that's earmarked for this from the 1/8 cent sales tax. We do have $750,000 from the Transportation Alternatives Program that Kevin had mentioned that we were awarded in a previous round of TAP funds. And then additionally, I'm giving away something for our next meeting, and that is that those STVG funds, the Surface Transportation Block Group funds, that are available to Carson City and to Lyon and Douglas, you know, during that multi-year period. While year one is accounted for now with the Silver Sage project and the Airport Road Mill and Overlay, a good portion of the money in year two, this part that's not Lyon County's funding, does come to Carson City, and that is not obligated at this time to any project, and it's available to the city on October 1st. And similarly, in the next year, so October 1st of 18, there is an even slightly larger sum of money, about $550,000, that's also available to the city in the STVG funds. That is the purview of this body to decide where it goes to. So we do have, yes, we're going to keep looking for money, but we do already have a couple more options out there that we're aware of.
Thank you, Patrick. Any additional comments from the commissioners or questions? Go ahead.
So I would just like to make sure I understand correctly. So we're looking at putting a two-lane roundabout in Sonoma. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you turn to the back.
I'm there.
The right page.
Appendix E5.
Right, I think it's sheet 4. 247.
Yeah.
So in the very back of the report there, what you see there are designed as a two-lane roundabout, and that's to take the two lanes that are coming in both directions and rotate those through the roundabout. So that is what we have proposed and what we estimated in the cost as well.
But can I just make sure I'm understanding, is it two lanes all the way around, or that the outer lanes are mandatory exits?
No, they're not. So if this is really hard to describe without pointing at it.
Okay.
But if you're going through the roundabout, two lanes will continue through the roundabout in both the northbound and southbound directions. If you're turning around the roundabout, if you're going left, or if you're taking a U-turn, there will only be one lane for that movement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it will not act as a choke point for north and south travel. You will continue with two lanes of travel through.
Is it like Mount Rose?
Correct. That's correct.
I just want to make sure. Did it look to me like you'd have people traveling across the lane to go right on this one? Anyway, I just want to make sure. It didn't look really good, but maybe with proper signage and all that. We don't have any in Carson City that are currently two lane.
Right.
Samples. Okay.
Are there any additional questions for the commissioners? Is there anybody in the public that wanted to speak to this? I'm thinking there is. Come on up, Randy.
Hi, my name is Randy Gaw. I just had a couple of things as I was sitting in the audience that I thought that came to mind as I was listening to the presentation. Number one, I had not seen or any consideration for other alternatives for bicycle lane protection, namely, like the section from Fifth Street down to Fairview. If the solution is a buffered bike lane, possibly considering some type of physical barriers,
Randy,
along the buffer.
Randy, if you can make your comments up here.
I'm sorry. My bad. Just physical barriers along the buffered bike lane. They have plastic bollards that seem to be relatively inexpensive in comparison to other solutions. The turtle shell type bumps that they've used in some cities, and the other item that I wanted to be considered is, I hadn't heard anything about the reduction of the speed limit along that corridor.
It's in here. It's the 35.
Absolutely. Okay, great. That's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy. Is there any additional public comment on this item? All right. Seeing none, I have a question for you, Dan. This actually says that this is an item for approval. I'm just wondering if we should be accepting it rather than approving it, because this.
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be an appropriate action to take if you want to do it that way.
Okay. So let me bring this back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I move to accept the South Carson Complete Streets Corridor Study.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. It passes unanimously. Thank you all very much. And we are now on to item 6D for possible action to approve the Complete Streets Performance Monitoring Program. And Dirk, you have this one as well.
Thank you. This program is being presented for your approval, and Campbell staff is happy to present it to the Carson City RTC. So in the program, we looked at the city, and we looked at what areas of the city are likely to have complete streets improvements. And obviously, downtown already has improvements. South Carson Street, which we are in the planning phase of, is anticipated to have complete street improvements. William Street between Carson and the highway, I-580, it also has had a plan. That's the Greening America's Capital about a year and a half ago or so. And then with, I think, the 8th cent sales tax, there's been discussion about improvements to North Carson. So we identify those four corridors to start collecting baseline data and be able to, in the future, identify trends. What we did is we wanted to be able to capture fluctuation in pedestrian and bicycle activity, and as we all know, climate or weather has a big impact on that. So we divided the year into three. You got your winter, your summer, and then you also have spring and fall, which we lumped together. We identified the four corridors, and we are going to be looking. We didn't want to pick a specific spot, because things do change over time, and we do, and since we haven't put these pedestrian counters out in these areas yet, we wanted to be able to find areas that actually do have traffic. There's no point in putting a pedestrian counter out if it's not collecting any data. And so we wanted to provide some flexibility, but the idea is to look at, you know, one end of the corridor, the middle of the corridor, and the other end of the corridor. So as we said, we put together a schedule so that we can start collecting this data. As we collect this data, we are going to update the program as in a, put together an appendix to it, so that this program acts as kind of a historical document to collect data that we can share with Carson City RTC and the public. So it is simple, but we went through, we described all the corridors just to kind of say, hey, here are the existing conditions, here's what's been changing on them, and then to kind of outline some of the existing improvements. And so we kept it simple. We're looking at the raw data. The counters are going to give us the data. We'll start figuring out where we have folks walking, where we have folks biking, and then it's going to allow us to track the performance of our investment in complete streets improvements. And I'm looking forward to starting the program, which we're going to start in July, and just have an annual program. And so we'll give you periodical updates on the data that we're collecting, and if there's ever any questions or thoughts that you guys have, please feel free to share them with us. That concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? All right. Is there anybody from the public that wanted to speak to this item? I see nobody approaching, so I will bring this back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I move to approve the Complete Streets Performance Monitoring Program.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes 5-0. We are on item 6E. for possible action to determine that Nevada Barricade and Sign Company, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1617-148, the 2017 Long Line Program, for a base bid of $158,525.30 plus a 10% contingency amount of up to $15,852.53 for a total not to exceed amount of $174,377.83 to be funded from the property services long line striping account as provided in the fiscal 18 budget.
Okay.
I don't see Mr. Cooley here, so
no,
I guess
that's
you're,
okay.
You're
that's all right. Laura and Person Contracts puts him on there because he's the one that really will be overseeing these folks. I've got it. We've got three bids. The low bid, even with the contingency, which we don't typically use all of, frankly, it's pretty common to use a little bit of it, but not all of it. It is consistent with our budget. They actually have not done this for us before, but we do actually work with this company in other regards. They are very frequently retained by utilities and contractors and even special events to submit traffic control plans to the city various times throughout the year. So we are familiar with them and confident in their abilities. Just a couple of things to point out that we did have, this year we do have 3,100 linear feet of removal of striping. That's something that we actually didn't have last year and we regretted it, frankly. Sometimes you need to make adjustments and need to have a little removal in there as well, so we're happy to have that available to us. And the other thing to point out is that the while it's quite straightforward what they do, what we have to coordinate is with other projects. So for example, if you have a slurry seal project, which we will, and a micro seal project, which we will, the striping ends up being done as parts of those projects, so we don't go, you know, stripe road one day with these guys and then 2 days later micro seal and have to stripe it again. That does take a lot of coordination, so we're on top of those things, and that's all I know, so you can try to ask me a question.
So looking at the bids and the low two bids, almost the entire difference between them is all in traffic control, so the bids were actually very, very similar other than that one light item, so that's a good sign for a first-time contractor.
Which is a good sign, especially because we have, frankly, the most experience with them on traffic control.
Right. Are there any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, is there any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, I will entertain a motion.
I move to determine that the Nevada Barricade and Sign Company, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1617-148, the 2017 Long Line Program, for base bid amount of $158,525.30 plus a 10% contingency amount up to $15,852.53 for a total not to exceed amount of $174,377.83 to be funded from the property service long line striping account as provided in the fiscal year 18 budget.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now on to agenda item 7A, Street Operations Activity Report. Patrick?
I'll take that. Just a few things to highlight. And indeed, there was obviously everybody knows we've been still dealing with the aftermath of flooding that we've had in previous months, so we're still working on that. We have right here on the first page the crack seal operations. I'm happy to report that our staff has now completed the crack sealing that was needed for the slurry seal project, which is the first one to come up. They're in a transitionary period of we did have a new crack fill machine budget this year. It did just recently arrive, so we're in the middle of machine on its last legs and machine that you're breaking in. So we got both at the moment, and hopefully between the two of them, we'll keep it working out there. In addition to that, we appreciate the public's patience with all of our striping crew has been out there striping a lot of different things and driving along, and all of a sudden half the road's gone because they're doing a crosswalk or something. So but that's a necessary safety improvement that we do. I think that's all I wanted to highlight for operations.
Want to go right into status project status?
Yes, thank you. I'll just take it in line. The Blue Line ADA sidewalk improvements, the concrete work is done. We are going to be proceeding with the Redevelopment Authority funded removal of the current Blue Line and restriping, but at the same time, we're going to be meeting with a, we like to call them advisory work groups. It's more of an informal group to start talking about different possibilities for the longer-term future of the Blue Line as well. But we will be doing the restriping this year. The three-year multi-use path continues on, working through the NDOT LPA process. Still looking forward to awarding that this year and getting that out. Sierra Vista Lane, Dirk and other staff are doing a great job moving that forward. I think even Dan might have been involved in that lately. But good things are moving forward, even though Dan was involved, right? Even though we had to call Dan, we're still doing okay. We don't like to have to call Dan, but he came and did a fine job. The Sonoma Street reconstruction was completed. It was only about 400 feet over there, but we got some concrete work done, and of course the asphalt was completely reconstructed, and the contractor accidentally broke a little bit extra concrete and had to put more concrete in there at his cost. So good for us. We got a little bit extra concrete out of the deal. The Silver Sage Drive reconstruction, that design has started. We're still aiming for next year in spring, which is just fine for the funding source and the agreement. As I mentioned, the slurry seals, we did open bids for the slurry seal, and the bid was good, which makes us feel more confident that we'll have enough money for moving into the next contracts. For going into the micros, that's good. It's always a little bit of a nail biter to see how the bids come in, but the slurry seal bids came in well, and we'll be bringing that contract back to you in July. We meaning Dark, right? The MicroSeal contract, is that out to bid yet, Dirk? Do you know? The Micro is out to bid? Okay, the Micro is about to go out to bid, and we expect to bring that to you in August for award. So slurry in July, Micro in August. Long line striping, as you know, we just awarded that contract. The Northridge Drive roundabout, it was actually completed yesterday. I know that the concrete was, being poured 2 weeks ago, but it wasn't really a finished project until yesterday when the signage was complete. The concrete's cured, and we actually painted the edge of the circle in the middle to make it even more visible. That was always coming. It just needed to get there. So now that has been implemented, and we're happy to have gotten that put in there. It's a proven safety countermeasure, a roundabout. The design is kicked off for the CDBG on North Carson Street, and the project manager is very much aware of his need to be in contact with representatives of Fish as he moves forward. So no questions there. The battery backup improvements we talked about earlier today, both through NDOT funding and city funding, we're going to accomplish about half the signals in town, which we're very happy about. South Carson Street improvements, we also spoke about this evening. The plan is to move into design this fall. And Dan Stuckey, the new city engineer, is on board. And we're glad to have him, and he, as the city engineer, will be, responsible for overseeing the design, just as Danny Rotter, the previous city engineer, was responsible for overseeing design downtown. And we haven't started the design this last one yet, but we want to have it on there because we do have that over $700,000 TAP grant for taking the freeway multi-use down to freeway multi-use path down to Colorado Street.
Whew. That's the most projects that I've ever seen us have going on at one time.
Yeah. Well, and truthfully, there are a few there that don't. For example, the Northridge Drive roundabout is one example of one that does not reach the threshold of needing to be awarded by the RTC. But obviously, we want to be completely transparent and inform you about it regardless. It is the people's money.
Thank you, Patrick. Any questions on either one of those reports and future agenda items?
Ooh, I have several. We're going to be Graham Dollarhide, who couldn't be with us today because he is at a conference at the exotic location of Detroit, Michigan. He couldn't be here today, but next month he'll be here to give you an update on how things are going with state Medicaid. He and I had a conference call with state Medicaid a week or two ago, and they're working on that process of getting us reimbursed. That process is moving. At the next meeting, we expect to bring action to you on designating the use of those STBG funds for the next fiscal year, potentially, wink, wink, for South Carson Street. We also have the slurry contract, and, I was just going to mention the Carson Freeway ribbon cutting July 22nd.
It's July 22nd? Did.
Right? July 22nd, that's okay. July 22nd is going to be the ribbon cutting. It's a Saturday morning. Look forward to seeing you there.
And that'll be multimodal, right?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. The basic concept, yeah, there will definitely be bicycles and people walking on the...
We're not renting the cycle pub this time.
No. the northbound side of the freeway is going to be...
That was us. Yeah, that was us. It was all uphill.
And with that, a final thank you from your current transportation manager.
Thank you, Patrick. We are on to item 8, board comments. Any of the board members have any comments? Final public comment. I see nobody approaching the podium. The next meeting is tentatively scheduled for 4:30 p.m. Wednesday, July 12th, 2017, after the Campo meeting. And I would now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.